It's the Burt Show.
All right, so let me see if I can get this right, because I've read the email, and I know most of the story. I haven't read through it all just yet, but here's where we're at right now. We're trying to talk to Lori in chapters here, because she came on with us initially and said, look, I've been listening to the Burt Show, and you've had women come on saying that they're meeting guys on Tinder, and then they immediately go out with them, and they're not protecting themselves. She dated a guy, quote-unquote, online for a month, thought it was safe enough for him to come visit her at the time in Philadelphia, where they hit it off just fine. Things went great. Then she flies on out to Denver to link up with this dude who she has a great chemistry with. And then on Friday, she starts to tell us where things go south. She don't know this dude all that well. I mean, it's been a month chatting, though, but she's like, I'm safe enough. I mean, he visited me in Philly.
And when he visited her in Philly, she got her family's seal of approval, too. Like, Grandma said he seemed like a good dude.
Not just her family, Grandma.
I know.
When Grandma gives you the sign of approval, man, it's all.
She did a background check. Everything came out clean, so she felt safe making this trek out to Denver to see him.
So on Friday, where we lead off with her, is she tells us she's winding. She's in this truck with this dude, and they are going way out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of Colorado. There aren't any lights out here. Her phone, this was years ago, so you're not talking about GPS locating or anything like that. And he pulls up to a house, and it's a shack, and it doesn't look anything like the place that he's been FaceTiming her from. So immediately she's now starting to get nervous. She opens up the door, and this dude starts kissing a pregnant woman like it's his wife. And now Lori here is really starting to freak out. I got it all right up until that point. Right, Lori?
Yes, you do, Bert.
Okay. First, again, I want to thank you for coming on with us, because to relive this whole thing, you said, is super, super painful. So you get to this shack, and describe the shack, because I think this is an important part. This is like right out of a movie, you guys. We're not talking about a four-bedroom, old, historic home. We are talking about like a 10-by-20 shack that is dilapidated and nearly falling to the ground with no electricity, right?
Right. It was like plywood, no insulation, but you could see like the framing. No electric, no running water. We had an outhouse. And I learned about the outhouse, you know, the next morning, but it was bad. Everything right there in this one room.
It sounds like more of a storage unit than it does an actual living quarters.
Storage units are better.
Yeah. Oh, really? Now, does this have a kitchen or?
It's a propane grill, kind of like if you were camping.
And it's in, and that's inside the shack. So there's not really running. There's not a whole bunch of rooms, that's for sure.
And no, there's a bed, like I can barely see, but you know, she had a flashlight. There was a bed in the one corner, which was turned out to be for both he and she. And then there were two makeshift bunk bed cots made out of 2x4s and a kind of like a tarp material.
Okay, now
that's actually where he told me is where I'll be sleeping.
Oh, good for you! You got the honeymoon.
Right?
You got the honeymoon suite.
Yeah.
So tell them exactly what was on the walls, also, because the obvious question is going to be as soon as you open up the door and you see that, why did
I run and scream?
Right.
Guns, there were knives everywhere. The one wall right by the door, literally at least 10 rifles, a bunch of handguns, knives, everything. I've never seen that much weapons at once. I was like, okay, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm on the top of a mountain. I'm nowhere near I'm supposed to be. I'm surrounded by weapons in a shack with the guy who I'm supposed to love and love me. And he never told me there's a pregnant woman waiting for us, who obviously knew I was coming, but I don't think she knew about the relationship he and I had, because he acted like we weren't even dating once we got in there.
Well, did you ask as soon as the pregnant woman got up and welcomed him and kissed him, did you just turn and look at him and be like, who the hell's this?
Yeah, I kind of looked crazy-eyed. Mm-hmm. It was more like, remember the movie The Shining where, like, the hallway got really, really long and they saw the two twins?
Yes.
That's what it felt like to me. Like, I'm trying to curse. Oh, darn, this just got real.
Yeah.
It was really hard. It's almost like your mind exploding drooling, like, what do I do? Oh, dear God.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, because now you know you're in real, real trouble here. So at that point, why don't you just start running or screaming, or what's going through your mind at that moment where you now realize you're in a situation, guy here, pregnant woman, in a shack, your life is in danger. You must have been either frozen with fear. What was going on?
That's what it was. I was scared to death, Bert. Where was I going to go? Middle of winter, Colorado. I'm not dressed for it. I'm smart to know that I'll probably die, become a flood or whatever outside. There's guns there. You could probably chase me down. I didn't know any of the other things that could possibly happen to me.
I figured,
if I behave, I might get to see another day.
Where was your luggage?
In the truck.
I still want to know who the pregnant woman is.
Yeah, okay. So now we're going to start introducing some new people here today, because it's not just there's not just a pregnant woman. Now it's about to get freaky. Go ahead and tell us about the pregnant woman, who she was, and the other people that are in that shack now too.
Well, so the next, few days, because I was only supposed to be there for a week, I got to know who was there and these people. The pregnant woman and actually her 12-year-old son, they were living up there. 12-year-old son wasn't even going to school. They actually met Adam about 7 months prior, 8 months prior in their hometown. He was passing through. He met her at her job. They hit it off. They started dating. He had a really bad relationship with her ex-husband. And so when, Adam said, hey, I'm about to head out to Colorado, you want to come? She jumped right on it, and also turned out she was pregnant too. So I guess he had sold her a bill of goods, but he had sold me.
Okay, so
I guess he was still selling it to her because, she revered him like a god almost. Everyone there did.
Okay, so he's almost – so that makes sense. So he's almost like this cult figure to the other people you're about to introduce us to.
Yes.
Okay, who are the other people around?
There's a 19-year-old guy and his 16-year-old girlfriend. They both met him prior to the pregnant woman meeting him in their hometown, which is a really run-down town. Later on, I actually visited this town with them when they were taking me to Florida. People in this town, they don't even have electric. Like, they have houses, but no electric. They're running off their generators and so forth. Really poor people in this town. And they actually worked for him as an assistant and helped him with construction, doing little side jobs here and there. He said, hey, I'm headed out to where the pregnant woman's from. And he said, do you want to come? And believe it or not, what he was offering them was better than what they were already having.
And
so, again, they revered him.
So this kid is living there also in the same place or just comes by every day?
They're all in the shack.
All in the shack. All right, so we got
all in a shack.
Pregnant woman, 16-year-old. Who else am I not covering?
The 12-year-old.
And her 12-year-old son.
Now, at any point, are you saying to him, take me away from here, I don't want to be here?
I'm still trying to get a feel for what's going on.
Well, hold on.
In my mind,
stop.
I want to go home. I know I'm leaving in a week. I know I've got a flight
hold
back.
On.
I know
stop, that's stop, to stop, for. Stop. At no point when you're driving up this dirt road, and then you get to a cabin and think you're in love with this guy. Look, at no point do you step backwards and put your hands up and go, this is not even close to what we talked about. Take me out of here.
I do, when it's time for me to finally go home.
No.
I do.
I'm talking about the day you arrive at a house that's not the picture that he sent you, after driving into the woods where he admitted he's taking you somewhere where you didn't agree to go, and then there's a woman there that he's obviously in a relationship with. At no point during that experience, not when you were ready to leave, during that experience, at no point did you say, you got to get me out of here. This is not what we agreed on.
Honestly, no. I was scared, Jeff. I think if you were in my shoes, we are different people. I'm young. I'm in my early 20s. I'm trying to survive. I don't think you understand how scared. I'm still terrified of this person. Terrified.
So
if that can give you any idea that 8 years later I am terrified and sick to my stomach even talking about this, that can hopefully give you an idea of what my mind's going through when this is happening.
I don't, okay.
I'm so far removed from my element that I'm just thinking I have to just behave to survive and just kind of go with the flow. I knew I was supposed to go home within a week. And I just tried to give benefit of the doubt, and say, okay, I can get away soon.
All right, this was the area we were going to stop in anyway today. She was going to tell you guys what happened when the very first time that she said, I'm going home. I'm leaving. It doesn't end well at all.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't end well at all. So we'll stop here, and then the next time we check in with you, we'll take it up from, hey, I'm taking off. And then things get physical and it gets really bad. And that's how long now into you being in this shack. You're living there and you finally get the courage to say, I'm getting out of here. How many weeks was that?
That was within the first week as when I was supposed to leave to head back to the airport to go home back to my family.
All right. So she's trying to, she's frozen with fear and she finally says, I'm out of here. And next chapter starts off. And it doesn't start off well. It doesn't start off well at all. All right, Lori, thanks for sharing the story with us. We'll check back with you.
All right, Bert, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You sound like you are interrogating her. Why are you interrogating her?
This story, to me, is not believable.
He said Friday he doesn't believe it. But I'm like, you have to give her the benefit of the doubt.
I'm trying to, but I'm not the only one who feels that way.
I still think you can ask her questions without making it sound like you're interrogating. Because let's say it is a true story.
Right.
And she's relaying all this and it's still painful for her. I think your interrogation isn't doing anything for her.
Well, then I just need to sit here. Like, I can't imagine, and I understand that there is a different dynamic if you are a woman in a vulnerable situation who gets it taken advantage of by a man who is perceived to be powerful. I am respectful of that. I just think, like, if I was interrogating her, I would have asked her how she got off an airplane, drove on a dirt road for what seemed like eternity, went into the shack, spent the night, but didn't find out about the outhouse situation until the next morning. Like, I just have questions. There are factual questions that puzzle me.
He's a very logical guy.
Yes.
And I think it's okay to ask those questions. I think we're all thinking of those questions. I just don't think it needs to be asked in an interrogating way. Like, I don't believe you're a liar.
She used the bathroom at baggage claim before she left. I have a bladder of steel. I can go 8 hours after that.
All right.
Well, that's because Bart crate trained you for a while. So, actually, that's probably the wrong time to make this joke.
Oh, yeah, that probably
is. Yeah, no, no, I'm not going to do that.
Keep in mind, as we weave our way through this story, the end of it is, I'm telling you how it ends already, with the military coming in and rescuing her. But we got a ways to go before we get to that.
The Bert Show.